Which Brighton and Brentford players are best as we brace ourselves for their double? And more than a word of warning about getting double game week fever. Hello and welcome back to the FPL Pod, another early midweek treat for you on a Wednesday. Myself and Sam Bonfield have been harassed into recording a day early because the busiest man in football has other plans for our usual Thursday morning slot, doesn't he, Sam?
Yeah, he prioritises the Champions League above
working,
us, apparently,
you know,
Kelly.
In real life, so.
Some of the rest of us work our work in around the FPL Pod, but Jules, we'll let you
Thank
off.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for taking time to be with us on Wednesday. How was your game week?
Not great, I won't lie. 47 points. Still green arrows everywhere, pretty much apart from one of my mini leagues. So I'm still happy because of the green arrows. But 47, it was tough. I had a feeling from the beginning it was going to be tough. Even if, you know, I think bringing Rico Henry and Ivan Toney in the view of the double game week that they will have, I thought was quite a good move. But again, no Riyad Mahrez at all, which was crazy. Mitoma returned the highest for me, which was great. But for the rest, it's not ideal, not great at all.
I've had a few tweets from people who are keeping an interest in our little league and how I'm going with you. It's actually more people feeling sorry for me.
Your family. I know. I got the same messages from your family members. Yeah.
7 points now, the gap between myself and Jules. Gradually clawing it back. Sam, how was your game week?
Oh, Kelly. I had a shocker, didn't I? Because I finally parted company with Darwin Nunes, who then went on a riot and punished me for selling him. Like, honestly, didn't you just know that was going to happen?
Yes.
The only positives were that Mahrez didn't play, so Robertson came off my bench. So that was definitely a help. But my bench was ridiculous. I mean, I had Danny Ward there with his penalty save. I had Andreas Pereira there with his two assists.
Me too.
And it was like, oh, come on now. I got 44, which was still above average, thankfully. However, it was my first red arrow in, what, 11 weeks?
No.
So
it's not bad.
The green run ends. No, I know. The green run ends. And look, it was going to end at some point. I think it cost me about 10k in the end, so I think I'm about 77k now, so not horrendous.
It's not too bad.
No,
yeah.
And obviously it is what it is, right? I don't think anyone predicted that Liverpool were going to go and win 7-0.
If they had predicted it, maybe we'd have all made different transfers.
I'd have kept Darwin then.
Yeah. I did text you both about 10 a.m. on Saturday, didn't I, saying I was very tempted into a very, very late wildcard. I did resist and just made some really terrible decisions instead. By the way, 380,000 managers did wildcard ahead of game week 26. And we've got one of those joining us as our guest today, Praz from Burning Questions on Fantasy Football Scout. Before we come on to how the wildcard went, welcome to the pod, because it's your debut, right?
It is my debut. Thank you very much for having me on. And what a time to come on.
I did play a disaster
wildcard and the team I support lost 7-0. So thank you for inviting me at a very brilliant
time.
Do
you know what, Praz? I wasn't going to mention
anytime,
that.
Anytime.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, from your team name, Erikson Hag, that you're a Manchester United fan. Sorry about that this week, but it hasn't been too bad recently, has it? If managers haven't heard about you before or your content, give us a little insight into your history with the game and just how your season's been going so far this time around.
Sure, happy to. I've been playing FPL since basically I came into the UK, which is 2010. I've been supporting Man United for about 25 years. So FPL is part of my life. I've been reasonably successful for top 10Ks, but more importantly, it's just part of, you know, what I do. It's part of my enjoyment of the game. I was, you know, linked with FF Scout for a while. I've been a user for a very long time. And I started doing a video series called Burning Questions, as you mentioned, with my co-host Sonaldo. And we've been, I think, the second year into it. And we basically drilled down into two or three talking points for the week. And it's been reasonably successful because as a manager, I'm a bit of a geek in terms of the research I put in to my decisions. So I basically just discuss that on Wednesdays. And it's been really fun.
Okay, let's dive into this wild card then, because we were talking then about people that benched players that got a lot of points. The one thing that stood out to me, you got 41 points, and it's a wild card that looked pretty similar to a lot of the ones that we saw doing the rounds just before the deadline. But Mitoma, first substitute. Oh, Pras, I felt for you.
Pras. It's one of those wild cards. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong. You basically, if you had three darts, you threw one at March, Mitoma, or McAllister. Obviously, I got March and I decided to play him. I've got Mitoma on the bench, but look, I'm happy with having two Brighton mids. One of those things. March could have got points this week as well. Instead of Henry or Pinnock, I chose Henry. And he ends up with, you know, his one pointer. But look, I think overall the basis of the wild card was the fact that you get, you know, five or six Brighton Brentford players for this week, and then you have a team for game week 28 without needing a chip, and then you have a lot of doublers for game week 29. So I would like to think it's a long term play, and the fact that this week things didn't work out, the 50-50s didn't work out, I think it's fine. I take it on the chin.
Just in case listeners did want to know a little bit more about the team that you went with, in goal, you've got Kepa, Zinchenko, Estupiñan, Henry, Saka, March, Rashford, Odegaard, Tony, Haaland, Kane. And then last week, as mentioned, you benched Mitoma, Pope, Trippier and Botman. Okay, well, lots of managers sold Liverpool, 1.4 million managers, in fact. I'm going to treat this like therapy and get this out. I've not yet said this out loud. I sold Mo Salah last week.
We were the selling Liverpool club, Kelly.
Yes.
Just the right time. Perfect timing.
Perfect
again.
Timing. I did it at 10:59. I did it for a minus four.
Oh, no. And it cost you 4 points as well. Hey.
I don't know if I want that to make the edit, but I 100% know it will.
Yeah, it will, sure. It will. Don't worry, it will.
But 350,000 other managers also did that. I've never watched a game and hated every minute of it so much without supporting either team. It was horrendous. Anyway, Sam, tell us, what do we do now if we have got rid of Liverpool? At least you have got one of those players on your bench.
Well, so this is the thing now, right? Because like as Praz was saying, I think if you were wildcarding last week, selling Liverpool made absolute sense because they don't double in 27. They aren't playing in 28. And the double that they have in game week 29 is a difficult one on paper. It's, you know, Man City and Chelsea. So it made sense to sell them. Fast forward to...
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I did the same, right? I kept Robertson. I actually did nearly take a minus four to swap Robbo to Estupiñan as well, which, you know, as it went, would have been a bad decision, not because Estupiñan didn't do well, but because it would have cost me minus four and that would have been a worse situation for my team. But, you know, I think if you've sold Liverpool now, obviously they've got a really nice fixture this week against Bournemouth, but then they don't play in 28. So unless your strategy is to free hit in 28, I don't think you want to be causing yourself more problems by bringing Liverpool in. You're going to have to basically hide behind the sofa during that Bournemouth-Liverpool game and hope that Liverpool don't perform in the way that they did against Manchester United. Now, over the course of this season, the reality is that Liverpool seem to have been able to get themselves up for these big games, the game against Manchester United, the game against Everton, the Merseyside derby. They were great in those, but they haven't been so good necessarily against kind of either the middle of the table teams or the bottom ones. Now, obviously, having said that, they did absolutely smash Bournemouth the last time they played them in the league, which, you know, but they were a different team at that point. So for me, I think if you've sold Liverpool, you just have to ride it out now. I'm, however, changing my strategy completely with Robertson and he's just going to stay on my bench. I'm going to keep him through the blank.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because when I was making that decision, I was thinking I would like Mo Salah for the Liverpool game, but I just had so much money invested in him as well that I was preparing. It felt sensible. Praz, are you going to stick with your decision to keep away from Liverpool? Because something we say a lot, isn't it? A wild card isn't just for 1 week. We can't be panicked into these decisions. We have to look at the longer term strategy.
Yes, I intend to stick my strategy. I went for Kane and Haaland, and there is very, very low chance that I go for Mo Salah or any other Liverpool player for that matter, for the reasons that Sam just mentioned. I think I do have a plan to get them back after game week 29. They actually have a very good fixture in game week 32, which will be the FA Cup semi-final weekend as well. So people will clamour to get Liverpool assets back because Man City's or possibly Man United's, if they reach the FA Cup final, will blank. So I think it's not a goodbye, it's a see you later, but I think for the moment, I'll just have to live with not having Liverpool players.
Jules, you haven't been too keen on Liverpool players for a while, it feels like.
No. Yeah, but I mean, watching, again, like you said earlier, nobody could have, or Sam said, nobody would have expected them to win 7-8 against United at the weekend. So you can be forgiven for the people who sold. The ones who kept, the ones who captained, well done, well played. I mean, if you had a gut feeling that they would do really well, but just to put it in context, the last time we had three forwards of the same team having a brace in the same Premier League match was in 1999. So that's a long, that never happens really. So, but you know, I don't know if anyone in the game had a front three in the game of Gakpo, Nunez and Salah, but that would have been a hell of a team. But it's one of those that really you can't help. Sam mentioned the City and Chelsea fixtures. They've got Arsenal straight after, Liverpool as well. So after Bournemouth, with Real Madrid in between, they've got an incredible schedule for the next 2 weeks with City, Chelsea both away, Real Madrid away as well, and then Arsenal at Anfield. So maybe after that, you could look into it again and say, okay, yeah, they're much better. Clearly, everybody is on form scoring. So then you can go and pick whoever you want. But for now, it's difficult, I think, to bring them back considering the fixtures after Bournemouth that they have coming up.
God, it's tough being an FPL manager sometimes, isn't it? Having to watch games behind the sofa and all of that. Okay, let's focus back in on double game week 27, because this is a double game week that wildcarders like Praz have been building for. Brighton, Brentford, Southampton and Crystal Palace all play twice. We're going to go through some of the teams and work out who we should be targeting if we haven't already, because I imagine there will be some people that will still want to wildcard this week, having just used last week to get a little bit more information about those teams. Let's start with Brentford. Their fixtures are away at Everton and then away at Southampton. I'm just going to throw some names at you, go through some of their popular assets and see how you're feeling about them. Let's start with the obvious one from Brentford, Ivan Toney. Praz, is he a must-have for this week?
I think he's going to be a popular captain because of the fact that he did not get his ninth yellow card potentially in the last game. That makes him a good candidate because you'll pretty much get two games out of him. He will play both defenses that are sort of bottom five, and that shows in their total points as well. So I think on penalties, whenever he does score a goal, he's good for bonus as well, that like we saw against Fulham. So I think he'll be popular.
Yeah, he will be popular. And Sam, I know I'm going to reveal already that he's going to be your captain for this game week. You've already said it.
Yeah, he is going to be. I think, you know, he needs to repay me because I sacrificed Darwin Nunez's points for him. You know, so he's got 130 points so far this season. He's the third best forward in the game. Only Haaland and Kane have scored more points than him. And of course, they are substantially more money than him. He's also on 15 goals and 3 assists for this season, 18 goal involvements. That's more than he got last season already. He got 17 in total last season. We are talking about a player that's in better form than he was last season and that is kind of driving the attack for his team. That's captainable, in my opinion.
I've just looked, and I don't know if we've ever had this on the podcast before, but all four of us have exactly the same front line. We've all gone for Kane, Haaland and Toney. So I think we're all in agreement that Toney is a standout option for this week. Who else from Brentford is a standout, Jules?
I think defensive assets. I know they conceded two goals. And by the way, that second one really late when they were a bit lazy, because I think they were just expecting the referee to blow full time and they let Fulham shot and then the rebound, of course, for Vinicius. That one point that I lost with Rico Henry, I mean, I think made a difference, to be fair. But anyway, I think Rico Henry, Price mentioned Pienaar, that he went for Henry, like me, with his wildcard instead of Pienaar. Ben Mee is another really good choice. You could go Hickey if you want to. I mean, and Raya, of course, in goal. But I think all of them, even if they considered two against Fulham, good Fulham side, let's not forget. I think you could go for a defensive asset too and be rewarded in the next two games with Everton struggling to score. Southampton pretty much so as well. So it's I think it would be a safe bet to go with one of those defenders we mentioned or the goalkeeper.
Yeah, they're all at a really nice price point as well, aren't they? Ben Mee is the most expensive at the lot at 5.1 million. Then you can go a little bit cheaper with the likes of Rico Henry at 4.5. Hickey is 4.9. Who is the best option, Praz? I know you've gone for Henry. Is that just due to funds, really?
No, I could have gone Pienaar. I think I like Henry because Brentford sometimes play five at the back versus four at the back. And they typically do that against tougher opposition. So this isn't a case where they do that. But there is a small chance that they go five at the back. And when they do that, then Henry is easily the most attacking of the defenders. Mm-hmm. So there was that little upside with Henry that I thought I could pick up. I think Raya, for his saves and bonuses, a bit like a mini Kepa that he's been doing since the restart. So he's good for that as well. But I wanted to make another point, which is basically Game Week 27 is peculiar because a lot of single game week teams have great fixtures as well. So when we talk about teams having, attacking the doublers, who are you giving up to get the doubler because you know Liverpool are away to Bournemouth, like you mentioned. But then you have Man United home to Southampton. You've got Newcastle home to Wolves, Man City, Palace, Arsenal play Fulham. So it's basically like, who are you giving up to getting three Brentford? And which is why I chose to only have two Brentford, even though I was wildcarding, because I wanted to sort of balance this with the single game wickers.
I think for me, I'm actually looking at maybe going, rather than for one of their defenders, going in with Matheus Jensen in midfield instead, because as an Andreas Pereira owner, always benching his points, obviously Fulham don't have a fixture in game week 28. And over the next 3 weeks, when I look at what Brentford have, so they're the only team that have got five fixtures in the three games. Jensen has got eight attacking returns so far this season. Five of them have come since the restart. So his form has picked up quite dramatically since we've come back from the World Cup. And at 4.8 million, he's kind of fitting into that Pereira bracket. So, because I think Praz is completely right in what he just said. You have to be so careful here that you don't just go all in on doublers and then lose your single game weekers who have got fantastic fixtures and could easily get a double digit haul. But losing Pereira, who's got a match against Arsenal and then a blank, for a player like Jensen, who has the potential to return over the course of that double game week, and then of course in the blank, three fixtures instead of one, makes a lot of sense.
So Sam, will you be going into this double with just two Brentford attackers, or have you got a Brentford defender as well?
No, I think I'm just going to go with the two attackers, because I mean, I can get a defender, but again, it's another point here in order to do that, because I don't have any Brighton players at the moment either. So I really need to make sure that I get on board with the Brighton midfield train. So again, it's the level of risk you want to take. So when I look at my team for this week, I've got Robertson against Bournemouth. I've got the double Chelsea defence with Kepa and Badia Shiel. They've got Leicester, who just aren't scoring very many goals at the moment. I've got Gabriel, who's got Fulham, and I could see him clean sheeting there. I've even got, at the moment, Trippier is on my bench in my bus team against Wolves. So if I bring in a Brentford defender, I'm going to have to take out one of those guys, and those guys help me out next week. So when I've got a blank, I don't think I want to take out players that are helping my team next week.
Yeah, it's really tricky with so many game weeks that we're having to plan for when looking at even picking our team for this week. Anyone we've missed there from Brentford, Jules, or do you think we've covered off the main players that people should be looking at? I thought it was also interesting, Praz mentioned David Raya, and we're about to come on to Brighton. I know there was a lot of managers not sure between Sanchez and Raya. All of a sudden, Raya looks the more appealing, doesn't he?
Yeah, completely. Unless you want to go completely, you know, off Reyes with Steele, and there's no reason why Steele would not keep his place as a Brighton goalkeeper, considering that he played well at the weekend and they didn't concede a goal. So you would think that for whatever reason, De Zerbi benched, you know, Robert Sanchez to go for Jason Steele, then the reason is still there. And so I didn't even check how much Steele would cost
3.
you,
but maybe 9, that's
he's a Steele
3.9. So maybe you could go there and then that could be a very smart move. But yeah, between Raya and Sanchez, I don't think Sanchez will be back in the Brighton team. I just wanted to mention Mbeumo because he missed a sitter. And for me and Praz, Rico Henry with a cross early on, watching that game, you go like, I was literally celebrating already my great move of Rico Henry. And then he missed like something that my mum would probably have scored in her best days. But Mbeumo offers you a lot. And Praz is right. Whenever Brentford go back to a back five, the front two would be, Wissa would go back to the bench. Yep. And then Mbeumo and Tony, which is probably better for both Tony and Mbeumo to play in a front two than a front three with Wissa. I think Mbeumo could be an interesting one. Just to keep in mind, if, for example, you don't have enough money for the others or whatever, I think Mbeumo is still interesting.
Yeah, 5.8 million as well. So like when Sam was mentioning Jensen before, not too much money, although Mbeumo is a bit more than Jensen. Okay, let's pick up on this Brighton chat then. Now, Jules, there's been some interesting quotes from De Zerbi. He actually said, Jason is now playing better than Robert. He is closer to Robert than my style. So no indication that at any point, he's going to be bringing in Sanchez again.
Yeah.
Jason Steele is potentially a very good option, Praz, if people were looking to make a keeper change at the moment. Brighton keeping clean sheets, and there's a very cheap keeper there for you.
Absolutely. There's just two things to consider with that. So people like me are looking to bench boost very soon. So not this game week, but in game week 29, which is also a double. And you know, it's a question of whether I want to risk it. Because yes, I know today he's the flavor of the month, but we don't know what happens in April when Game Week 29 comes around after the international break. So that's a slight risk. And the other thing is, there's so many good options at Brighton that, you know, Estupiñán is amazing as the defensive pick. So you're almost balancing out whether you want that attacking defender or you want this really cheap goalkeeper.
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? And also, it feels like all of a sudden, Sam, there's a lot of Brighton assets for us to pick from. Who's standing out for you?
It's Alexis McAllister for me. He's the one that I really wanted last week. It's very easy to sit here and say, I wish I'd done it. But I genuinely, I got very close to taking a -4 last week to swap Mahrez for McAllister because I just felt that McAllister's fixture last week was good. West Ham defensively haven't been great. And for me, he's the standout. He's been playing in this advanced number 10 position now since game week 20, rather than in the kind of double pivot role that he was playing earlier on in the season, which has massively increased his underlying stats. So he has a minutes per expected goal involvement ratio of 109.7. This compares to 140.9 for March and 209.9 for Mitoma. So he is averaging an expected goal involvement much earlier than the rest of the attacking players at Brighton. He obviously scored twice in between game week 20 and 26, but his XGI in that time, his expected goal involvement, was 4. So he should have got double what he did based on the chances that he had. I just think that everything about McAllister at the moment, the penalties, the fact that he's on them, it screams investment. He's the sort of player that, you know, if De Zerbi decides to play him in the kind of double pivot role again and move him out of this advanced number 10, it will and it would restrict his appeal over maybe March or Mitoma. But if he continues to play him there, then for me, McAllister is the standout pick at Brighton.
It does feel like, doesn't it? I thought it was interesting, Prasen, you were saying before about Mitoma. You never quite know which Brighton midfielder is going to go big. March, Mitoma and McAllister. Jules, do you agree that at the moment, McAllister is the standout?
I think Mitoma for me, but because we've mentioned him and we've bigged him up for a few weeks now. And
you were the first person to spot him, weren't you?
Yeah, we were good. But the World Cup was, remember, we were watching together a lot of that World Cup and he was so good with Japan. Yeah. You kind of knew that it was the right time and coming back, there was always a risk that the form would not continue the way it was during the World Cup. But usually the momentum that a player like him would get from a World Cup experience would always reflect into the club level and the domestic form. And that's exactly what happened. But Sam made a great point about McAllister. She mentioned him already last week as well. And I really thought that she would have transferred him in.
I was
quite close to be fair. I know. It's always those -4, like, conundrum in a way. But yeah, McAllister, March, I think overall it will level up. I think I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the season they get pretty much the same amount of points in the weeks that we're looking at, to be fair. So maybe go for the one where you have the money in and you can invest. Go for your gut feeling as well. There might be one that you prefer. You like Marsh's style or McAllister's style, or you like, you know, World Cup winners, or, you know, whatever you do. Because I think in the end, it's pretty much good on them returning at some point anyway.
Is a Brighton midfielder this week, Praz, essential, would you go as far as saying?
I would say so. I mean, I've gone for two, but I think getting at least one is pretty important. I mean, if nobody's essential if you're not looking to captain. So let's say you have Tony already and you have no way to get a midfielder. I think you can live with it and just captain Tony. But I think given the fact that since the restart, they've been the most attacking team in the league, it's a team to sort of load up on if you can. Because again, going back to the doubles conversation, not only do they have a good double this week, they have a great double in game week 29 as well. If you can get through the blank that they will have next game.
That's the thing, though. You don't want too many of your players blanking.
Correct.
In the following game week. Because if you've got Rashford already and Haaland and, I don't know, maybe a Liverpool asset that we mentioned before, and then you add that with two or three Brighton, then suddenly you've got five players who are going to blank. So the way you manage it, you'll have to be careful.
It's really correct, Jules, because, you know, when you look at what happened last week and the goal attempts that these clubs had, only Man City and Spurs had more attempts on goal than Brighton did in the course of game week 26. So that would scream, right, go all in on Brighton. Let's, you know, double up on the attackers. Let's get Estupiñán as well. But the reality is, if you do that, you just have to have a plan for 28. Now, your plan might be a free hit in 28. And if you're doing that, then loading up now on Brighton for this week, and then obviously they'd come back in again for the next double in 29, makes absolute sense. It's just you have to be wary that, as you say, if you've got Haaland in there, if you've still got Salah in there, if you've got Manchester United players in there, you're giving yourself extra headaches in 28. By bringing in too many Brighton. So there's got to be a balance, and it's a really hard decision as to what that balance is.
Just before we move on to other teams, we haven't mentioned Brighton defensive assets. Praz, I noticed you went with Estupiñán. Is he still the standout?
Oh, definitely. He's very, very attacking. Really happy to have him. In fact, he saved me from going Sanchez because I just wanted Estupiñán. And I was just waiting for his injury update because he didn't play the cup game. And it was a matter of if he's fit, he's going to start. Because there's so much being said about Brighton not having a left-footed defender apart from Estupiñán. So he's pretty much nailed. They tried Lamptey there. They tried Pascal Gross there when he was out, but I think nothing worked. He's nailed and he's super attacking. I really am happy to sort of own him. He's like the Robertson of Brighton. So happy to own him.
Before we move on to other teams, Sam, I feel like I'd be doing Evan Ferguson a disservice if we didn't mention him again, because he's getting a lot of mentions, though I noticed no one on this podcast has brought him in yet. And also Danny Welbeck. So there is some lesser owned picks there at Brighton if you want to mix it up with some differentials.
I absolutely love Evan Ferguson. I think he is brilliant. And if you remember, weeks and weeks ago, I was spouting on about him for ages about how
I thought
he was one of the best cheap forward options to have in the game. Yet for some reason, I never did it. I think probably because I just kept staying loyal to Darwin Núñez for all of that time. And I still think he's a great pick. The one slight niggle that sits in the back of my mind is Danny Welbeck and the potential sharing of minutes that might happen across there. Because, of course, you've got Undav as well. So there were kind of three attacking players there available for De Zerbi to use in that one spot that he has in his team. I think Ferguson will get the nod to start both of them, but I wouldn't be 100% sure. And that's where the doubt comes, because I think if you're investing in Brighton, you're doing it because you think that they're going to get the start across both of the double game week fixtures, because obviously without the fixture next week, you need to make sure that you're maximising what happens this week. And that's the one niggle I have on Ferguson right now, because I do think he could do well. It's just I think his minutes will be more limited than his midfield counterparts.
Yeah, I agree. Now, most wildcards I've seen have focused in on Brentford and Brighton, given their form, given their fixtures. Have you found, Jules, any value at all in Southampton or Crystal Palace? Because they do play twice.
Yeah, they do play twice. I mean, it's difficult because they know in good form in Southampton, obviously had that win at Chelsea, which was huge. I don't know.
Way of saying no, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, what price? Why not? There's a lot of why not, I think, but ones that you can't really say like it's a must have. But yeah, what price? Because of the set pieces, of course, even if he missed a penalty in the last game, but what price? Yeah, of course, you can. It potentially could be good. Same with Crystal Palace. We mentioned Eze and Olise. Zaha is back now. You could go there. But I just think that there surely will be other teams that you look at first, even if those two teams have a double game week. And as Price mentioned, there's so many good fixtures for single game weekers that I would not go into Crystal Palace or Southampton.
Yeah, it does feel like if you're investing in either of those teams, Praz, then maybe it is a case of you're getting severe double game week fever and being blinded by seeing two fixtures on the ticker.
Absolutely. I think it's the opportunity cost this week and then also their fixture next week. They do both have a fixture next week, but then it's Arsenal and Spurs. So you're sort of planning ahead. And if you're thinking that I want to really invest in this team that is not in form, not delivering the points, but also back them against really tough games in game week 28. I think that a lot of people will give it a miss. Even though Zaha came back, he had the goal ruled out for offside. You know, he's always okay. And Ward-Prowse is always good for a free kick or a penalty. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of an avoid this week.
Sam, maybe Wilfried Zaha, your old friend.
What, replace Mahrez with Zaha? It's just one problem going for another one. I think if I was going to punt on either of these teams, it'd be James Ward-Prowse. Southampton has scored 6 goals since the restart. He's got 5 of them. If anyone's going to score for Southampton,
it's going to be James Ward-Prowse. I do agree with what Prowse says, though. I think you have to look beyond this game week as well and consider whether you want these players sort of slightly more long-term, because next week you don't want to be swapping out a player that's got a fixture. You're going to be looking to deal with the players that don't have fixtures. Do you really want Zaha or James Ward-Prowse going into those? I mean, actually, James Ward-Prowse is quite good against Spurs, so maybe you do. Spurs defensively haven't been, you know, hugely great. Would be a good differential. But I think for me, you know, if you're trying to get through this week on just your free transfers and you're not looking to take loads of hits and you don't want to take out, you know, somebody who's got a nice fixture this week, then Crystal Palace and Southampton could be the teams that you leave behind in terms of not investing for the double. But if you want to climb your mini leagues, if you want to take a risk, if you want some differentials, then James Ward-Prowse would be my top pick. Zaha, probably my second choice for those two teams.
I loved James Ward-Prowse's quote post-match after the Leicester game, where he actually joked about missing the penalty and he said, yeah, I wish it had been a free kick, because he's just so reliable from free kicks. When he gets a free kick, I've reported on a few of them live this season, and I buzz through to my editor when he gets a free kick and I'm like, guys, it's a free kick. And they often come to me because they know he's probably going to score. So that's the added appeal of James Ward-Prowse. Not only does he have penalties, free kicks, which are just as good. Okay, so we've covered off the doubling teams, focusing in particularly on Brentford and Brighton. But Prowse has already gone very early and mentioned the word of warning about not getting double game week fever, about not ignoring those players with just one game that could get loads of points. Prowse, who are the main ones that you're looking at?
Main ones, well, Spurs are home to Forest, so that's a fixture to always pick up on. I know Spurs fans aren't that bullish, but I think Harry Kane against Forest has to be one.
Don't get us started.
I was just shaking my head as Prowse was saying to invest in Spurs. I was thinking, oh no, don't do it. Do Kane, obviously, but the rest of them.
Yeah, I think it's Kane. I think it's Kane. But then, yeah, there's lots of others. I mean, but are they players that you invest in this week or not is a different question. But Man United home to Southampton, I definitely expect a pick back up, and you know, home form has been great. So Man United home to Southampton is a good fixture. City are always good, even though it's away to Palace. I think that doesn't matter. I think that's a fixture. And Newcastle home to Wolves, that's a great defensive fixture as well. So there are teams to target in addition to Brentford and Brighton this week for sure.
I'm looking at the transfers in, and the top four are from Brentford and Brighton. Mitoma's the most transferred in, then Tony, then Estupiñán, then me, then it is Mo Salah, McAllister, Gakpo, Darwin, March, Raya. So obviously managers are going, oh, there's a double, but there was also a 7-0 last weekend as well. That's kind of thrown another issue into it, hasn't it, Jules? Because it would have almost helped us if Liverpool weren't playing well. We could just ignore them until after 28. But now they're kind of sitting on our shoulder going, hello, don't ignore me.
Yeah, completely. And we mentioned the tough fixtures that they have coming up after the Bournemouth one.
They're better in the hard games, though, Jules. They're better in them.
Yeah, true. Maybe. You're right. Yeah. You're right. And we've said that the Champions League form had been, before the Real Madrid first leg, had been really good, to be fair. So, but you still, it's still difficult, I think, to go and get three Liverpool players when they're going to play City away, Chelsea away, and Arsenal at home, back to back with a Real Madrid tie in the middle. But it was easy before to ignore them. Unless you were in love with Darwin Nunes, of course, like Sam Bonfim. But now it's difficult because suddenly it becomes like, okay, now, and you've got many options, because maybe before you were, okay, it can only be Salah and that's it, really. But now you think, okay, Gakpo is really on good form now and he finds his feet and the confidence. Same with Darwin, who's finally more clinical than he's always had chances but never scored like in the way that he did against United. And then you go defensively, it's much better since Van Dijk came back. Konate is back as well now. So you can go either of that back four and think that they can return your points. So suddenly it's not just that you're thinking about, oh, let's look into Liverpool again. It's more like, damn, who do we get from Liverpool? Because suddenly they're all very appealing to all of us.
Jules, what are you going to do about Chelsea now? Because I saw you tweeting, waxing lyrical about how good they were in the Champions League. You've still got Modric
time
on your bench.
He's training really well.
No, but I'm not even joking here, because all of a sudden, was there a performance last night that we can cling on to a little bit? They've got Leicester this weekend as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it? Could this be the turning point, that win against Dortmund without conceding? Do you want to wait a little bit more, maybe? And I would advise that. Let's see if they are completely healed or not, in a way, in the sense that they will have top fixtures to come. And we mentioned the Liverpool home game, of course. But it looked like that win against Dortmund could be such a boost that, yeah, maybe you think about Havertz again, you think about Sterling again. Joao Felix, still good, but would not return enough for me in the game yet. But defensively as well, Koulibaly is in great form. Kepa, I think many of us have him, but suddenly Chilwell has been playing outstanding the last two games, really. He was one of the standouts for them. So especially, I think they will keep that back three, which means that Chilwell will have a higher position as a left wing back. Same with Reece James on the right. So yeah, again, with Chelsea that we ignored for quite a long time, now suddenly a bit like Liverpool, they come back in contention massively.
It could be quite good timing as well, couldn't it, Prez? So I'm looking at their fixtures. As I mentioned, Leicester this game week, then they do play in 28 at home to Everton. They've got a double in 29, Aston Villa at home, and then Liverpool at home. So as much as we're saying that other teams are giving us headaches with good form and maybe blanks, Chelsea, I don't know if we can quite say they've got good form at the moment, but two wins in a week and they have got fixtures over the next few weeks.
They definitely do. I think it's a team to target in addition to all the others. I mean, you know, it's a crazy season this year where there's eight or nine good teams with good FPL assets and we're basically scrambling to get one or the other. And we were very happy during the time when Liverpool and Chelsea were not doing well where we could ignore them and get the others. But yeah, they're putting their hand up. The last third of the season, they will be contenders. James and Chilwell back in a back five is huge. I mean, those guys were the main attacking threat and under Tuchel. And so them two being fit and basically the new signings fitting in, I think it's great signs. And I'm really happy for Potter because he's, you know, really back him as a great manager. And I think he will make it turn around at Chelsea.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of players are putting their hands up for us at the moment at a time that is good. But also it just does, as you say, it's a crazy season. It feels like there are so many options. Before we move on, Sam, and discuss a bit more about chip strategy, because I've seen a lot of people debating whether to use one this week. Another transfer that I'm seeing a lot of people doing, which sounds bonkers on the face of it, if maybe you said it in isolation without any context around it, Erling Haaland to Ivan Toney. We've discussed Toney already, but do we have to be a little bit careful to go without Haaland this week if managers are preparing to do so?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to be really careful. I mean, Haaland has dropped below 85% ownership now. He's 84.7%. Wow. So people are doing it. People are selling Haaland. And I think in part they're doing it because he obviously has a nice fixture this week against Crystal Palace. Then he blanks and then has a single game week in the big double game week 29. And that single game week game is against Liverpool. So people are looking at it and going, well, Haaland's got two matches, one of which is a tough game against Liverpool. In comparison to Toney, who, barring picking up two more yellow cards, has got five fixtures across those three game weeks. So when you consider the difference in potential minutes and therefore potential for attacking returns, that is a lot. So I can see why people are doing it. I would have some real reservations about it, though, ahead of the Crystal Palace game, for sure. If you wanted to do it ahead of game week 28 and you were swapping him for, you know, another forward at that point, if for example, you've got Salah, but you don't have Kane, and then maybe I could see a swap from Haaland to Kane for game week 28. But I think my issue is that you will want, inevitably, you will want to bring Haaland back in. Whether you want to bring him back in for 29 against Liverpool or for 30 till the end of the season, you will want to own him. Now, I have 0.4 million tied up in Haaland. So if I sell him, he's going to cost me almost half a million more to buy him back again. And that for me means I won't be selling him because I just don't have that level of budget flying around, particularly as, you know, we've just been saying, the players like the Chelsea players, the Man United players, the Liverpool players, Harry Kane, they're all there going, I want to be in your FPL team right now. I'm performing well. So this is a lot of expensive players. You can't then afford to spend more on Haaland, probably. So yes, do it. Do it at your own risk ahead of him playing against Crystal Palace this week, but also do it knowing you've got a plan for bringing him back because inevitably you're going to want him back.
Talking of watching games behind sofas, I feel like if I sold Erling Haaland, I'd need multiple sofas to watch behind. Let's talk chip strategy then, because managers are playing them. And it's at this point in the season, as I said, where we're all making a chip strategy. Jules, how's your chip strategy looking? I'm guessing you're not planning on using any imminently.
No, I only have triple captain and three hit left. So not for now. I mean, you could wildcard. Imagine wildcarding and getting 41 points on your first game week as a wildcard.
And then showing
I'm kidding.
Up here.
Christ, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But yeah, no chip for me. The only chip I'd be using is the ones I lead watching, Haaland from behind the sofa if I sell him.
Are you thinking about it, Jules?
Nah.
I was going to say.
No. He's my boy. Well, not really. Not like the others, but you know what I mean.
Praz, is there any value in a chip in game week 27, do you think?
I think there is. I mean, if you're really short of Brighton, Brentford, you don't have a Harry Kane against Forest, and you want to sort of restructure your team, I think people could look to wildcard this week if they have all the chips in their back pocket. And what you could do is you wildcard this week, you free hit next week. So basically you load up on Brighton, Manchester United, Liverpool, Man City, and then you don't worry about the blank next week. And then you get them all back and you could even potentially look to bench boost in game week 29, because game week 29 will be the biggest double that we will have all season. And that is there because there were a lot of upsets in the FA Cup. So a lot of games that are typically rescheduled at the back end of the season, game week 34, 37, won't happen. We'll have a few, but not as many as 29. So 29 feels like a good week to bench boost if you can get to it. If you can wildcard this week to help you do that, I think that would help. And this was my thinking as well. Wildcarding last week, I planned to bench boost in game week 29. And by wildcarding in game week 26, I sort of even avoid free hitting in game week 28. So that was my thinking. And I can use the free hit for later. So I think there's a lot of merit to using the chips, but we need to be wise. There will be problems after game week 29 as well. Like game week 32 will be a big blank. Not to complicate it too much, but people need to sort of just sit down, put the fixtures in an Excel and see what works out for them.
Just an update on the chips that have currently been played for the next game week. Over 75,000 wildcards, almost 70,000 bench boosts, triple captains, almost 25,000 of those are active, and over 13,000 free hits. That's as of Wednesday morning.
One thing I would say, Kelly, just really quickly, is I think Praz is right about bench boost in 29, but I do think there's justification for a bench boost this week, because a lot of managers, particularly if you've wildcarded last week, are going to find themselves having to bench their Arsenal assets. And if Trossard is out, then Martinelli is going to be playing in that forward position. And if he's playing there, you do not want to have him on your FPL bench. And a lot of managers are going to find that if they've got double Brighton, they're going to have to pivot their Brighton players off the bench this week. And somebody from those midfielder slots has got to take that spot. And you're not going to be benching Haaland, Kane or Tony this week. So you're going to be looking at your midfielder assets. I don't think you're benching Rashford or Saka, which is going to leave a lot of wildcarding managers looking at Martinelli. If Martinelli is going to end up on your bench, then I think you have to have that conversation about potentially bench boosting this week.
Sure.
Yeah, that's very true, actually, when it comes to Arsenal particularly. Okay, let's end on transfers and captains. Jules, I'll let you go first. It's Wednesday. There is not a chance that you've made your decision this early.
No, although Ivan Toney, as we mentioned, because of the double game week and the form that he's in, it looks good to me. And for the transfer, he would be a Brighton player. I don't know yet if it would be Steele or McAllister or Marsh, but probably one of the three.
Sam, what about you? I wouldn't be surprised, actually, today, if we have a hat trick of Tony captainers. You've said you're going to captain him. Transfer, is it just going to be Jensen coming in?
No, I'm definitely bringing McAllister in. That's going to be the first one. So Mahrez to McAllister, that'll be my free transfer. And then potentially Jensen as well. The only thing I'm going to have a conversation with is if I do that and swap in for Andreas. Andreas is currently on my bench. I'll put myself in the position where I'm going to have to bench Martinelli, and that feels horrendous. So I just need to have a little conversation with myself about whether a minus four for a player that means I've got to bench Martinelli is worth it. It's really hard this week, but definitely Mahrez to McAllister. Yeah. That one's nailed.
Just confirm this to me. Do you actually have an out loud conversation with yourself? Do you maybe have it with me?
In front of the mirror.
Yeah, I do. I'll sit there with the app open, kind of going, if I do this, if I do that. And Lee will walk in and go, who are you talking to? I'm just talking to myself. Because I have to vocalise it. Otherwise, I can't see it. And like Praz says, I'll have my Excel spreadsheet open trying to work out what that means for my team in future weeks. I'm that sad, Kelly.
No, well, I think that we're now understanding why Jules and I are lagging behind so much in our league.
No spreadsheet for us, no talking to ourselves.
Yeah. Praz, what's your spreadsheet saying? And do you talk to yourself as well?
Not particularly. I do think in my head, but talking to myself, I haven't got that far yet. But look, I mean, my team this week, I'm happy with it. Obviously, having wildcarded last week, I'm a little bit optimistic of a green arrow, but we will see. I've got five doublers. So, you know, two guys from Brentford, three from Brighton. I'll have Kane, I'll have Haaland, I'll have double defense Newcastle. So I think I'm okay this week and I'm going to save a transfer. I will probably captain Tony, but I also have this thinking, I don't know if it's sunk cost fallacy, that I played March last week and he looked good. Maybe if I captain him this week and then I make up my points for last week. I mean, that's the wrong way to think about it, but I am debating between him and Tony.
That is diverting from the spreadsheet, because I don't think your spreadsheet would tell you that, would it?
Definitely not.
Okay, well, let's end this podcast here. Prez, thank you so much for joining us. How can people watch your content? When do you do Burning Questions and other bits and bobs?
So Burning Questions is on the FF Scout YouTube channel, and we typically go on Wednesday afternoons UK time, so between 12 to 2 p.m. And I'm on Twitter on PRAS_FPL.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I'm sure listeners will have heard you on the Off the Bench podcast as well. Sam and Jules, thank you as always. Jules, enjoy your little trip abroad.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I hope I come back with a PhD qualification, of course.
You know? Yeah, of course. I hope you make it. There's snow outside my window that I can see at the moment. And Sam's face is grimacing as she looks out, preparing to do the school run in it.
And then thinking, goodness, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in the snow tonight could be interesting.
Yes, I'm going to Chelsea Women tonight. That could be very interesting in the snow as well. Well, guys, thank you so much, as always, for being with me. Your deadline is 11 a.m. on Saturday. Get those changes sorted. Off the Bench will be back next week, and we will return at our usual time next Thursday. Thank you for listening. See you next week.